When we give our lives over to the Lord's leading, He'll use us to bless those around us. Here's Mike McIntosh with this reminder.
Promotion comes neither from the east nor the south nor the north, but the Lord God lifts up one man and He takes down another. God lifts you up and God promotes you and God blesses you. And no energy you put into being cool will make you cool. It just let the Lord take your life and let the Lord open the doors and let the Lord place you in a place and then turn around and give back to the Lord and use your entree to bless people.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Continue our survey of the book of Proverbs here on Chapter and Verse. Let's briefly review what we've observed here about wisdom. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." There's a popular phrase that says, "Let go and let God." So often we try to hold on to our possessions, our talents, yet God wants us to bless others. Man's wisdom says to be a taker, yet God gave us the example through His Son Jesus Christ to be a giver. Pay attention to the applications that Mike presents today in the important conclusion of the message, The Words of Agur. Our lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 30. However, Mike has turned to the gospel to glean from Christ's life as it gives us the true example of how to live righteously. Now, here's Pastor Mike.
Now, just jump over to keep in Matthew to the 19th chapter, and let's just take a look right there real quickly before we go. Verse 21. Jesus said to them, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And that young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And the sad thing is, they weren't his possessions. He was their possession. They possessed him. And it's giving, again, that whole concept. Matthew 24, speaking about the end of the world. And take a peek there at verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Well, this guy said, there's two things I'd like to have before I die. So here's two things. You want to be a faithful and a wise servant. You've studied for months, well, a couple of you did, studied the Proverbs. And we've tried our best to help you become a wise woman and a wise man and to help you grow spiritually in your mind and heart. And so he says two things. Verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season?" So a wise person is one that finds the servants of the Lord and provides for them so they can carry on the work of the ministry. There's a pretty big key to being blessed by Jesus. Mark chapter 10 and the 45th verse. Little Mark comes scooting along and he picks up on this very, very quickly about this attitude and this heart of being a giver. "For even the Son of Man," verse 45, "did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Wow, surrendered his whole life so other people could have it better. And let's close with these last three verses, the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, the 38th verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Remember, this is a doctor speaking when you read these words. And I'd like you to read it out loud. Ready? "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will it be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it will be measured back to you." Oh, really? I reap what I sow? Right. Acts, the church now explodes and becomes the church before it ever was the church. And one of the first things they learned was this, giving and loving people. Look at the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse. And then Peter's walking into the temple. There's a crippled man laying there. And he reaches out his hands to get some alms, thinking, because Peter's staring at him. And he looks him in the eye. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he said, I don't have any money with me, but what I do have, I have faith in Jesus Christ. And in that mighty name, you just get up, buddy, and walk. So you give your faith. And notice it says his ankles. What good would it have been to heal his feet if his ankles weren't able to hold him up? So when God works in your life, he takes care of the whole person. He's going to make you strong everywhere you need to be strong. And he wants to work in every bit of your fiber. So in closing this off, verse 18, there's three things that are too wonderful for, which I don't even know about. The way of an eagle in the air, how do they get so high and how do they do what they do? The way of a snake or a serpent, a lizard on a rock, how they move around, how they get up there, how do they get down? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Those of you that are sailors will enjoy that one. And the way of a man with a virgin or a young woman. Just the love relationship and how they woo each other and look at each other. Then he goes on and says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. This is what an adulteress does. She goes ahead and eats her dinner, wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wicked. Just had a little affair. And that's what the soap operas teach us, huh, in prime time. Just a little, you know. For three things the earth is disquieted. And here he goes again. I really mean four. Because he's thinking. Four things which the world can't bear. Number one, a servant when he becomes the king. That's not right to have the butler sitting on the throne or the janitor now takes over the corporation because he sued somebody or something. And then a fool when he's filled with a meal because he's so sated and overwhelmed he's not using all of his senses and so he's saying stupid things and doing stupid things. And then the third thing is an odious woman, the King James says. Boy, that really sounds heavy duty, doesn't it, ladies? An odious woman. When she is married, then the next one is a handmaid, a young woman that's heir to her mistress. So she was the cleaning girl, and the lady of the house dies, and she marries the husband. They don't like that. But what's odious mean? It means hateful. Because a spiteful, hateful woman is all he's saying is that when she comes into the family, she's going to be nagging her husband, she's going to be putting down the kids, and there'll never be peace in that house. Now, this is a guy that has 1,000 wives, so he knows. So it seems Eger likes to categorize things, two things, three things, four things. He was an observer. He had some intelligence, though he starts out this chapter that we just now close by saying, I'm a brute, I don't know anything, I have no intellect. But he just talked to us about being an observer, a scientist in the sense of knowing of the aviary community. That's a foul job to have, I'm sure. But he studied the birds, he knew what birds did, reptiles, ships, navigation, and then people. He was watching all these things. He wasn't myopic. And then servants reigning in the boss's place. And fools usually aren't grateful people. And then verse 24 through 28, I'll refer you to Sunday's message. And he closes out and tells us we're good kids. There be three things which go well. Four are really something to look at. First thing that's so powerful is a lion, which is strongest among all the beasts. You look at a lion and say, wow, that guy. There's just something regal about the lion. And powerful. He's the strongest. And he doesn't turn away from anything or run from anything. And then there's the greyhound. It's a big bus that takes people around Israel. Always amazing that they had the greyhound. The dog is so sleek and skinny and thin and lean, and yet he can run like the wind. And then the he-goat. The he-goat is just this strong brute that can butt heads with anything and win a battle. And then the next thing and final thing is a king against whom there is no rising up. Now, in the New King James, and in some of your translations, it'll say, and a king who is surrounded by all of his troops in array. And what he's saying here is that for a king to be so powerful, there is no internal corruption, there's no palace coups. And also to see a king standing with all of his military as the commander-in-chief, pretty powerful thing to take a look at, that one man could say to all of that military, go to war, put your life on the line. If you've been foolish in lifting yourself up with your pride, he's saying, you've promoted yourself. You must remember what David said in Psalm 75, verse 5 and 6. Promotion comes neither from the east nor the south nor the north, but the Lord God lifts up one man and he takes down another. God lifts you up and God promotes you and God blesses you. And no energy you put into being cool will make you cool. It just let the Lord take your life and let the Lord open the doors and let the Lord place you in a place and then turn around and give back to the Lord and use your entree to bless people and let His kingdom be seen through you. Because truly tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You're either good ones or bad ones. And you need to see this, that that's a glorious thing to see with a king with all those that are surrounding him. And it's a foolish thing to see a person lifting himself up. Or if you have thought evil, put your hand over your mouth and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. So don't stir up fights, lawsuits, arguments, hassles, battles. It's like getting punched in the nose and having a bloody nose, or like spinning around a big stick inside of a milk churn and just mixing it around. Don't mess. So we'll leave you with that, and we'll look at the virtuous woman. And the king's mom started out the next chapter. These are the words of King Lemuel. Many believe Lemuel was actually Solomon, and that it was a pet nickname that Bathsheba had given him. And she says, what, my son? She's asking him a question. She's homeschooling him, it sounds like. He had a very righteous early life, but then women came into his life, and he did. It says, kings are not to take horses from Egypt or chariots, nor are they to marry strange foreign women. And he married all these women, and then his downfall comes at a peak in his life. Very strong and handsome, extremely wealthy. His parents are gone. He's in control. And then it says, and the many wives turned him from the Lord. So all their religions, false religions, came in and disrupt him. So here's mom pouring her heart out. It says, son, the son of my womb. This is a brokenhearted mom who lost her baby out of judgment because of the sin. And what, the son of my vows, God, if you'll let this guy live, I'll present him to you. Give not your strength to women. Men, you need to listen. Nor your ways to that which destroys kings. What destroys a king? Well, one of the first things is, it's not for kings, old Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink. So if you're a leader, alcohol doesn't mix. And any nerd or brutish person can down a six-pack and get drunk. But if you're a godly person with God's call in your life, it is not for kings. And the Bible says that we are a kingdom of priests. And when this whole show is over, we will judge the very fallen angels and demons themselves. And you must take that to heart, that you are royalty. And don't act like a drunken slob and keep away from this. And your mother is saying, this will kill you. Kings don't do that. Keep your head clear at all times. And why? Lest they drink and they forget the law. And they pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to who? To the person that's ready to die. That's who needs a good shot of Jack Daniels. And yet the world has said that you need a shot of Jack Daniels because you lost some money in your IRA account. You need a shot of whiskey and a Mai Tai and a U-tie and whatever, you know, a necktie. You need all that because your 401k slipped a little bit. Come on, the world has taught us to be wimps and says, no, strong drink is for the guy that's getting ready to die. Let him get out of his pain and misery. Just give him a shot there and he'll mellow out. So that's who strong drink is for. And wine is for those that be of heavy hearts. Well, let's have another little drink. That's not heavy heartedness. Wine is to loosen you up. Well, I've got to have about four or five glasses with every meal. No. Let him drink and let this person with a heavy heart forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So then here's the final, ultimate, all-time verse. Circle it, please. Put stars next to it. Take it home with you right now. And we shared this when we had the testimonies two Saturdays ago and Sundays. Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as that are appointed to destruction. Stand up, you men, and be righteous men for the unborn baby that can't speak for itself. The only people that vote for abortion are those people that are alive. You stand up and you cast a vote. And you stand up for the definition of marriage is what God says. It is between a man and a woman. And for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife. That's God's definition. This is not a partisan issue. This is you saying if you are going to allow the enemy of your soul and of every human being, to come in and redefine what God has defined. This is what it's ultimately about. And if that is redefined, then our world is gone. You need to stand up and be righteous men and women. And if you haven't registered, you need to register to vote. And you need to get into the scriptures and realize that you are precious in the eyes of the Lord and that you have a voice. So you are to open your mouth for the dumb in the cause and all such that are appointed to destruction and don't even know it. So open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy people that can't plead their own cause. It'll keep you out of trouble in dark and dusty bars, and it'll keep you as a happy person serving your brothers and sisters. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for the Proverbs, and I thank you for the people that have taken the time on the internet to study these Proverbs and to go through them and to take notes, to memorize them, to underline them. And Lord, I thank you for your wisdom that you pour out to us every time that we have studied these and looked at them. We know they're so deep and so profound, and yet we can just skim the top of it and get a little layer off of it, and then later we can go back to any one of these Proverbs and you'll take us deeper and apply it to us in a whole new manner. I pray for these men and women, Lord, that you would help them be really wise. Oh, how we need wisdom to see around corners, to look over rooftops and in alleyways, to be able to look behind us when we're walking forward, to be able to think in new channels and frequencies, to be able to see what the human eye doesn't see, and to hear what our ear has never heard before. We know that your kingdom, as Jesus said, is right at hand, and as we're getting ever closer to it, Lord, we need more of your spiritual attributes in our lives, and we know that wisdom is one of the ways that we can open up this kingdom. So I'd pray for these men and women, they wouldn't take it lightly that we try to study these things so that they can be better people. Help us just be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. God, help us. Forgive us for being lazy or idle or lukewarm. And above all, for being brutish. That we don't even know the things of God or His name or His Son's name. And yet the Word gives us the answers to all the questions that we could ever ask. No, God, I'd pray for each of us that you'd give us a personal revival and you'd just baptize all of us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come upon us, Lord, overpower us. God, let your Spirit just knock us off our feet if necessary and let our intellect go away and we speak in different tongues and languages and have visions and prophecies. For you said in the last days, your young men and your young women shall have visions and shall prophesy and your old men will dream dreams. God, open up your kingdom to this crowd and open up our church to a full repentance and humility that we would be givers and never leeches or takers like the horse leech. And we would not be satisfied by being rich, nor would we desire to be poor, that we would curse you and become a robber. But don't give us too much, Lord, that we would just get dull and say, who is the Lord? God, help us to keep our lives in balance, keep the word in our hand and hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Help my brothers and sisters in this congregation see where we are in mankind's history and how desperately you're crying out to the church worldwide to open our hearts to hear you, to see you, to sense you, to feel you, and to have so much love and compassion for those that are dumb and blinded because of selfish pride and intellect, and for those that are crippled in their souls, or they're blind in their eyes, or they can't speak, or they have no money for an attorney. Let us stand up for those people that don't know the bigger picture. Help us, Lord. Die to ourselves and develop the picture of heaven. And let us share it in power and in the name of Jesus Christ. There was a conference in Washington, D.C. It was a Christian Legal Society. It's a young, new society. If any of your attorneys here, I want you to join it. And there's 520 members, 106 nations. And they're advocates for Proverbs 30 to help anybody anywhere. I sat in on a group of attorneys unrelated to this on a whole different issue because I was asked if I wanted the honor, which I took, to take a behind-the-scenes tour of the Supreme Court, which was a great privilege and to go and see. and be a part of that. But there was a group of attorneys that were doing a moot, which is basically they were sitting in a round table, about 20 attorneys, and I was there for 3 or 3.5 hours, I think, with them. And they were preparing to stand before the Supreme Court, this one attorney, about an issue about the Ten Commandments and other things in city parks. And they took 30 minutes just going over 2 or 3 words that were in the first 2 sentences that will be spoken to those 9 justices. And I listened to these Christian men and women and their fervor for the things of the Lord and the focus that was there, but the power of God that was in that room was amazing. And one of the attorneys from the church here told me before the service tonight in an email that there was a group that were praying of lawyers from around the world. I saw them march in with their different flags and they're all standing for Jesus. And an attorney was walking on the street with them that just all of a sudden started crying and ran over to the Supreme Court steps, threw himself on the steps and started weeping for the United States of America and the American people. People from Africa and different countries were crying out and weeping and hearts broken. Not American citizens, but as outsiders seeing that we've lost it. This is a recruiting speech right now. It's all volunteers in the Lord's service. He's not forcing anybody to do anything. But he is recruiting if you want to serve him. If you'll follow him, he will make you to become fishers of men. And the reward's tough here on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to be surprised how gracious and generous he is. The church is weak. Our congregation is weak. The body of Christ is weak. But the book of Revelation says, just before the return of the Lord, the bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. So that means there must be something we should do, but it's not works of righteousness that we are saved, but by his mercy and grace, he has saved us through faith. That's how we got saved. So the bride isn't going to go out and do, oh, look at these holy things we're doing, but has prepared herself. It means you and me need to look inside and get to work in here with him, so that more of that light will shine, that men will see our good works and give glory to God. We're right at the precipice of history. History is going to totally change. And you need to be ready for what's coming. But not to shirk from it or fear it. It's all in the book. But God is looking for people that will take the book and become part with the book and let him speak through you to love other people before it's too late. So I pray, Father, you would call, and they would hear, and that you would anoint, and you would bless, and many would begin shedding their old ways, as Vance Havner said, that we have become complacent, and we have accepted this world around us, as opposed to changing the world around us, and changing with our own heart. Bless my brothers and sisters in a powerful way, and help us see what outsiders see about our country, and how you need us desperately to be men and women of prayer and of the Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we need not be ashamed. God, bless these people. Fill them that day and night they'll get out of bed and cry to you, and they'll ask you for help, and they will seek you, and they'll be found by you. And you'll reveal to them the mysteries of Moses and the wisdom of Elijah, and you'll show them that these were just people like themselves, and that you want to put that same mantle and anointing upon them that you put upon these people because they were broken and focused for your glory, for your honor. Use Horizon Christian Fellowship like no other church you've ever used in the history of the world, and break us, Lord, that we will humble ourselves in your sight to be lifted up in due time. Honor every family member. Prosper these people, O Father, and let their hearts be filled with joy and gladness, and let them be the holy people of God that would clap their hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Bless them in Jesus Christ's name, I pray, Father. Amen. And amen.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh, concluding a teaching that reminds us that God's wisdom is much higher than the thoughts and the wisdom of man. When we learn to fully trust God with our lives, we'll see the true riches he wants to bless us with. When we hold on with a tight fist, we prevent God from releasing his goodness upon us. On our next broadcast, we'll move into Proverbs chapter 31, when we'll present the message of Virtuous Woman. Well, we hope that you're a person of prayer. Through prayer, we receive a daily refilling of God's power and presence in our lives. Prayer helps us to grow in our relationship with God. There's no wisdom, no agenda, or priority that can replace communion with our Heavenly Father. An effective prayer life brings about strength to become and remain obedient to God's commandments. We can meet Him anytime, any place, and take Him wherever we go through prayer. If you're in need of prayer or are a prayer warrior, log on to our website at hcf.org and click on the prayer link. Here you can post prayer requests and pray for those who've already posted. Get involved in prayer today at hcf.org. Be sure to join us here next time for more in our series from the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.